I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad, so happy that you're opening your doors and letting us come in and worship with you. And all over the world, we are able to worship the Lord together. And isn't it wonderful that wherever we're located in the world, we have one focal point. We meet at one place, and that's the throne of God in heaven. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go to the temple. We don't need to worry about the temple or the veil in the temple. It's rent in twain, and it's wide open. And when we receive Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. That's where we all are today. Isn't that wonderful? We're looking at Psalm 51 today in the opening verses, where David writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful mercy and grace. And oh, we come to you not asking for justice. We come to you asking for mercy. And you're full of mercy and tender kindness and long suffering. And the wonderful grace of God is sufficient for all of our sins. And so we just thank you that you love us and you love your own and that you're helping us and using us in your service, every one of us. So bless us in this service, and all glory to Jesus, our King. In his name we pray, amen. And Jan has a song, you're going to love it. Jesus is all the world to me, and God bless you, Jan.
Deny
Well, Jan, that is a beautiful song and a beautiful message. And Jesus is all the world to us. And you know, the longer you know him, the more longer you walk with him, the closer he becomes and the more real he becomes. And there's just no friend like Jesus. So thank you we just thank the musicians for ministering to us and using every song has a message, a wonderful message. Before I read the letters today, I want to thank you for all the cards and letters you sent me for my birthday. It's just wonderful, and I really appreciate it so much. And now I'm 94, but I feel the same. And so how can you beat that? But we do appreciate all of you writing and helping and standing by and all the prayers. It's just wonderful, and we couldn't do it without your support and your prayers and your help. But we have some letters today, and by the way, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be using that for our message today. But first of all, some of these nice letters. Here's Tucson, Arizona. I'm so happy I found your program on TV in Tucson. I'm deaf, and although I have hearing aids, I don't understand words that are spoken. Thankfully, with closed caption, I'm able to enjoy the Christian programs. I enjoy your messages and the older hymns that are on your program. They are so beautiful. Thank you for being there for so many of us. I'm 88 years old and have been a Christian for many years. Isn't that a nice letter? And here's one from South Dakota, Fort Pierce, South Dakota, in the center of our state. I've been watching the Christian Worship Hour for a few years now. You've become a huge blessing in my life. When I hear your sermons, I feel very close to Jesus, and it has blessed me with renewed strength and peace and makes my incredible loneliness feel bearable. And you know, there's a lot of people that are lonely, and we always think about you folks, and we pray for you, and God knows where you're at, and you're really not alone, but you're like the little girl, and she's supposed to be in her bed in her own room. And so the mother says, well, Jesus is with you. And I hear, I'll set a chair, and Jesus will be with you. And so then the little girl, pretty soon she called her mother. Mother, could you put somebody in here that has skin on it? You see, we know Jesus is there, and we use our faith. And sometimes it's just nice to have somebody with skin on them. And so, but we just think of you folks that are lonely and are bedridden, and some of you are in wheelchairs, and God loves you. He'll give you strength. He'll never give you more than you can bear. Here's Omaha, Nebraska. May the Lord bless you and keep you in good health. We watch you every Saturday and appreciate your teaching. Stay in the saddle and keep preaching the word. Well, if I had a saddle, I could stay in it. Well, I mean, I used to. I'm going to tell you, at 94, I wouldn't get on a horse saddle or no saddle. We used to wear them bareback. We didn't have but one saddle, so kids, we'd have to wear them bareback. You couldn't get me on a horse for $100 with the best saddle in town. But I can preach the word and be carrying the word that way, so we're going to do that. Here's Ridgefield, Washington. I need to accept Jesus Christ. Please send materials. All right, I called this man. Had a nice talk with him. Send him materials. And he's going to read them and think, and we're going to meet again. And I have a suspicion that he can accept the Lord. Come to Jesus. Way about there, where is it? Washington State. And here's Thompson Falls, Montana. It's only because of you and your message every Sunday that at my age of 77 years old, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. My only question to myself is if I am worthy enough, and that is what I'm working towards with your help. Again, thank you, and God bless you for the help given me. Well, I want to tell you something. This dear brother, I talked to him, and he prayed to accept Jesus over the telephone. And he has a newfound faith. And he's born again, and he's rejoicing in Jesus. And I'm going to read a letter next week from him, how he tells about accepting Jesus and how there's a kind of a miraculous thing that happened in his life. But if you want to accept the Lord, if you want to pray over the phone, you let me know. We can do that. and I'll just help you and help you with your prayer, and you can have the Lord living in your life. God is able. He's able to do everything. If we can use electronics, God can use them better than any human could ever use them. So we'll make use of them too. Let's see. This is Lynn Grove, Iowa. Have you ever gone through a dry spell when you see Jesus up in the air and I'm down here on earth? I don't feel the closeness that I hear in your messages, and I know God has given me the gift of salvation through Jesus, but where is the peace and the joy? At times I feel nothing, and yet my mind, I know I am to blame. I'm 80 years old and I live alone. So much of the time I'm thinking or wanting to run. Please pray for me. I'll continue to listen to your service every Sunday mornings. God be with you all. Well, now I wrote to this lady, and here's the problem, and many, many people have this. They feel like they have to have some special feelings. Now, when you accept Jesus, you may have feelings and you may not have Jesus have feelings, because accepting Jesus is just simply an act of obedience that you're doing. You are asking Jesus. It's a transaction. And you may have joy, you may not. You may have feelings, you may not. You just ask Jesus to come into your heart, and when you ask him into your heart, you believe him, because that's exactly where he is. And you know the Lord Jesus is like the rock of Gibraltar, and it stands there. And our feelings is like the tide. It comes and goes, and it may be up and it may be down. It fluctuates, and we feel different ways at different times. But that rock is the same. And so our faith is in that rock, the rock Christ Jesus, the rock of ages, cleft for me. I'm going to hide myself in thee. And so don't be looking for feelings. Just believe. And feelings will come. There'll be a time when you just know that he's there. You may not see lights and bells and whistles and all. I've never seen that. I wish I would have seen a vision of Jesus. I could really brag to people. I saw a vision. I could put that on my stationery and all, but I didn't have any vision of Jesus. Once I thought I had a vision of Jesus. I thought Jesus was talking to me. I woke up and was a TV going. And so that didn't amount to anything. So just forget about the feelings and just trust Jesus. He will give you peace. You'll know that peace right away. When you trust him, you'll have that wonderful peace. Oh, it's great to walk with the dear Lord Jesus. Here's one more from Sequim, Washington. Thank you for your faithful ministry to our Lord Jesus. Our winter here in Alaska has been very mild this year. Temps have been in Alaska have seldom dropped below zero. Could this be God's answer to global warming theory? The real problem, listen to this, he's got it right on. He says, the real problem is not global warming, is global sinning. Isn't that good? I could preach a sermon on that. God bless you. I wonder if this is a pastor writing. Well, these lay people, sometimes they got more insight than the pastors. So here he is, real problem, global sinning. Thank God for ministries like yours, love in Jesus. Well, I tell you, we just love these all of these letters we get, and I hope that more of you will write. If you have a question, a theological question, that is something about the Bible you don't understand, you let us know. If you have a prayer, you want a prayer, tell about that. We pray for you. Pray for everyone we get. Pray for every person requests a prayer. And so just write. We just love to hear from you. And when you write, maybe you can send a gift, because, you know, we have to pay our ways just like anybody else. And we want it that way. God doesn't need any free stuff. We'll pay our way just like anybody else. And so you just ask God, now, dear Lord, should I give to this ministry? Is this something you want me to support? And you pray, and then you'll know. You may won't hear a voice, but you'll feel in your heart, yep, I ought to help him. No, I ought to give it to Joe Blow over on the other side of town or something. Well, do what God lays on your heart, because this is the way we figure. God called us to this ministry, and if he called us to this ministry, he'll supply. And when the ministry is done, when he thinks we're done with our work, then the supply will dry up and we'll dry up. And it just works that way. It's just slick as a whistle. Don't even have to pray about it. Don't have any money. We get off the station. So just pray for us. And here's our address. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is real easy. It's 2002. 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so then you're saying, well, I'd send some money, but I don't know if it'll go to the right place. And I don't know, they're probably getting some big boat out there. They're fishing and everything else with my money that I'm sending in. And how do I know how they're using the money? Well, we can answer that just slick as a whistle. Because there's an organization called the called Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and it's on the internet. So you can tune that in, and you can find our name, you can see our budget, you can see our audit, you can see how we spend the money, all of our expenses, you can see how we preach, you can see our statement of faith, and there isn't a thing hidden that you don't know that they don't know. So you pray, and then you help us, and we'll sure appreciate that. Then one other thing I want to mention is we have a new song, and that's a special little Bible study. And so you write to us, and we'll send that to you. And this week, this month, we'll have a little study on what must I not do to be saved. We always say, what must I do to be saved? We got it the other way around. What must I not do to be saved? So write in, free and postpaid. How can you beat that? So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. You're going to pay. And there we are. How can you beat that? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are so faithful in giving and standing by. Thank you for supplying our needs now for over 36 years. Never been a time we couldn't pay our bills. And so we just thank you. And we'll go on as long as you want us to go on. As long as you supply through your people, we'll carry on. Do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music. We are reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then we're going to have the prayer. And in the prayer, we're going to pray for the Christians in Central Africa. Every week, we pray for the Christians in a certain part of the world. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're part of our family. You know, the wonderful family of God, part of that family is in heaven, and part of the family is on earth. Like my wife, Beulah, and I, we're in the same family, we're just different rooms. And she's upstairs and I'm downstairs, and so we're all the same family. And so now these brothers and sisters in Central Africa and other parts of the world, they're being put to death because of their faith in you, because they stand for you, dear Lord. And they're part of our family, and we agonize with them, and we suffer with them, and we pray for them. So we're going to pray for them in our prayer today. But we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the first verse, where St. Paul writes, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the Lord, body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture that tells us about that home that you prepared for those who love you, and that when we're absent from the body, we're at home with the Lord. And so we want to stay here, Lord, and be a witness and serve you and do your will. And then we look forward to being at home with you in heaven with all of our loved ones. And so we just pray today that you'll help us to see, to understand your word and what you teach and what you expect of us, and help us along the way that we may be in the center of your will. And in doing that, find peace and joy and happiness. We pray for our family in Central Africa, Lord. And we just think about them so often, how they give up their life. They stand there and they say they'll wear that cross. And that then that's their follower of Christ, the cross. That's the symbol of the Christian faith. That's why we have the cross in the church and the cross on the church. And we wear the cross proudly. But because of that cross, people have had to die. In the first century and now in the 21st century, same thing, persecution of the church. But you'll always have your people and you'll always be with your people. And so these dear ones in Central Africa, help them, especially those that are left behind. And I know, Lord, we know that you'll care for them. You'll supply their needs and you'll bless their heart. And pretty soon the life will be over. We'll all be with you. And won't that be something? So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Melissa has a song, a beautiful song, "Have Thine Own Way." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with the Spirit till all can see Christ only always living in me. Christ only always living in me.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And you know, that's a prayer. And every Christian prays that the Lord will have His way in our life. Because God has a plan for every believer. And He's given you gifts, or at least one gift. He gave me one gift, but some people He gives several gifts. And though that gift is to be used in His service. So He has a plan, a detailed plan for every one of us. And so we pray, Lord, have your way in our life. And then we'll follow you and do the best we can. And you know, I'll tell you something. There are some people who say, well, you have to pray hard to know God's will. And sometimes I remember in days we'd have somebody that we're praying for, and they'd come forward and they couldn't believe in Jesus, and we'd have them up there. And so we'd pray him through and pray him hard, and then we'd talk to him and everything. But you know, God wants to save us. It isn't something that He doesn't want to give us. He wants to give it to us. He gave His Son so He could have that salvation. Well, the same thing was with our life. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And if we just tell Jesus, just be open to Him and just have Him guide and direct us, He'll guide you. He'll show you. God bless you. Well, say, I want to talk about something today that's confusing to a lot of people. We get letters, and they're wondering about this, and they're wondering about that. And so we want to talk about the judgment of believers, the judgment of believers. And when we talk about believers, we mean those people that have been born again. Now, remember, Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to be born again. And so when we born again means that we ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sin. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he knows it, but He wants us to confess it. And say, dear Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm a sinner. And I ask you to just come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my wicked ways. And He'll show you if there's something in your life you shouldn't be doing, He'll show you. And if there's something you should be doing, He'll lay that on your heart. See, that's repentance. Repentance means turning. And it means that we're going to turn from our old life. We're going to walk with Jesus. And that's the only way to travel. It's just so marvelous and it's so wonderful. And so when you ask Jesus into your heart, you're born again. It's called born again. It's called regeneration. It's called the birth from above. It's called the second birth. It's called a lot of things. It all means the same thing. It means you've asked Jesus into your heart. All right, so now you've done that. You've asked the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so Jesus, He says, you're not the children of God until you have received Jesus. As many as received Him, He gave you power to become something we weren't. We weren't the children of God. He gave us power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on His name. So, all right. Now, that's what we talk when we're going to talk about the believer all the way through the whole sermon. And the believer means you've accepted Jesus. All right. Now then, how does this believer relate to judgment? And you know, there are many judgments in the Bible. There is, for instance, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is the judgment in the Garden of Eden. There's the judgment of Noah and the great flood. There's a judgment on Egypt when God sent the plagues and freed the children of Israel. These judgments, and they're all in the past. They've all taken place. There are many some judgments yet to come in the Bible that are future. Many people believe that there's just one great judgment to come, and they call that the Great White Throne. Well, that's true. There is a Great White Throne. But there are other judges. There are future judgments that are different in time and in place and in subjects and in results. And there will be judgments in the future for the saints, the Christians, the believers. There's a judgment on living nations. There's a judgment on Israel. There's a judgment on angels. There's a judgment of the great white throne. Yes, there are many judgments in the Bible. Some are past, some are taking place now, and some are in the future. So with the believer, there's a threefold judgment. And so we're going to look at that today. First of all, the judgment of believers as a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody can stand up and say, like Jesus says, who convinceth me of sin? When none of us can stand up and say that we've never sinned. And you know, you don't have to have witnesses or anything else. People know you're an outright liar, and that's a lie. That's a sin. To say you have no sins is a lie in itself. And so we're all sinners. Now, there is a judgment of the believer as a sinner, and this is a past judgment. It has already taken place. It is completed. This judgment of the believer as a sinner took place on the cross of Calvary. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so here we are. We are righteous because God judged Jesus on the cross, and he took our place. And as a believer, we died on the cross with Jesus. That's what Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A believer then will never need enter into the judgment of sin because we died under the judgment of God on Calvary. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, we died with him, and our sins are paid, never to be faced again. And while Jesus paid for all our sins on the cross, they were paid for all time. And here's where a lot of Christians make a big mistake. They think that he was just paid for our sins in time we accepted Jesus, and from then on you're on probation. And you better be careful. And then you sin, and then you get saved, and then you sin. You're born again. How many times you've been born again? Well, Jesus said you should be born again just once. You're born physically once. You're born reborn once. You can't be reborn 10 times over. And so what the Bible teaches is Jesus paid for all of our sins when he died on the cross, past, present, and future. And so don't be worrying about it. See, in 1 John 1:7, says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin for all time. All of our sin and for all of our time. Not part of them. He just didn't pay till we were saved, and then you got to work the rest of the way. Paul says that we're not saved by works of righteousness, but we're saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes by faith. So all of our sins are paid. And Jesus says in Hebrews 10, verse 27, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's all of our sins, past, present, future. That's how come I can't be lost, because those sins are paid for. I can't be lost because they're paid for. Now, some people don't like to take that, but you just study it and you just think about it. And so the believer as a sinner, that's a judgment of sin. It's in the past. It's on the cross. It's done and forgotten. Now, the next thing is, we're told, the judgment of a believer as a son, as a child of God. And we're told about that in Hebrews chapter 12. We're told, for instance, with the fifth verse. Starting with the fifth verse, He says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son he does this. He says in verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you're without chastisement, whereof all are then are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers who of our flesh who corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest they be lame and be turned out of the way. The judgment of God on the believer as a son, it comes in the form of discipline or chastening. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, but when we were judged, we were chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, God always has and he always will chasten his children if we're disobedient, or he chastens us to make us more like Jesus, to make us more humble, or whatever it might be. We're all different. God says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, concerning David's coming son, Solomon. And this is what God says. I will be his father. He shall be my son. He's talking to David now. And this boy, this is Solomon. This is what he's talking about. He says, I'll be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So God declares here he's going to chasten David's son if he's disobedient. And so we read later that God loved Solomon. He gave him honor. He gave him wisdom, gave him power, glory, wealth, everything he could want. And then we read something. We read that Solomon turned from the Lord as he took many wives of heathen nations. And God punished him just like he said he would. He chastened Solomon. See, he's dealing with the son. This is the child of God. And this is the son. He did the same thing with David. And he said he loved David. And he says, David, I have to blaspheme. I'll have to deal with you if you blaspheme, if you sin. You know all the story of David. He had adultery, he had murder, he had lying. And so what does God do? He comes and he's going to take his son to chasten his son. And David cries and David prays, but it doesn't do anything. God is going to chasten that man, David. And he does because it's his son. That's a judgment on Solomon. It's a judgment on David. It's a judgment a little bit later on Saul, who ends up with the witch of Endor. See? It's the tasting, the dealing of God. You know, my mother was like that. My dear mother. I owe it all to my mother. My dad was gone most of the time. My mother had four sons and one daughter. And thank God she believed in chastening. That is, she used two things. She used the stick and she used the soap to wash out our mouth. If we said gosh or darn, or if we sassed her, got your mouth washed out with soap. Homemade soap burned like fire. We didn't want that. But she had other ways to chasten us too. I remember one time we had hired men. And one day the three boys, we were pretty close together. The first three, 2 years against about each one of us. And we went into the bunkhouse. We had hired men, and we found some gambling cards called face cards. And there's a deck of cards there. And they were battered and dirty and bent and marked, and they were stinky and everything else from tobacco. But we wanted to play with those cards, so we took them. And we didn't know how to play. And we were out there in the back room, one of the rooms, and we were trying to play with those cards, figuring them out. And Mother came in. Well, I'm going to tell you now, Mother's going to deal with us. Now listen, this is 90 years ago. And here she comes in. And she marched us into the living room with those cards. She had them in her hand. And it was in the winter. And I remember she opened the stove, a pot-bellied stove. You could see the fire. And she threw all those cards into that fire. I can still see it. And burned up those cards. And then she said, "Now, boys, go get your banks." Well, we all had a bank. She taught us to save. Had a few pennies in them, not many. She says, "Now, empty those banks. We emptied them all. Now, she says, "You go to those hired men. You tell them you're sorry you stole their cards, and you give them all your money." All your money? Well, I didn't bother me telling him I was sorry I stole his cards, but it broke my heart to give all that money. See, my mother is dealing with me, and she's teaching me it isn't right to gamble. It isn't right to steal. And she's teaching me something. And I know, you say, "Oh, those cards, don't worry about those cards. You can gamble with anything. You can go to church and you gamble on how long my sermon's going to be." And I can tell you something about my sermon. I never preach a long time. It just seems like a long time, see? So you can go and you can gamble on my sermon. You can gamble on anything. And I'm going to tell you, my dear friends, I've been in the ministry 71 years, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen people gamble, and I've seen them gamble away their home, and they gambled away their farm, and they gambled away their marriage, and they gambled away their children, and they gambled away their life, and God have mercy, they gambled away their soul. So don't you come to me and say my mother was too strict. We need more chastening like that. My dear mother, God bless her, and I owe her a lot. Because I probably wouldn't have been a thief and a drunk and a gambler. I'd been in a drunkard's grave by now. My mother, my dear mother. And that's what God does. He chastens us. And he does us to make us better. He does it to make us like Jesus. That's what he's got in mind. Jesus is our model. Don't take any person for a model and say, "That's my ideal." Don't you have any ideals like that? Isn't fair to the person, because he's got feet of clay, and he's going to sin. He can't help it. We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect, but Jesus is perfect, see. And I can't get these people, and they're going to find fault with you. They're not going to be a Christian. And what they'll say in the church, "You got a hypocrite in your church." Now, whenever they say you got a hypocrite in your church, don't never argue with them, because probably we do. And I usually, when they tell me that, I says, "Well, why don't you join and we'll have another one?" That's what you tell them. Don't back down from them. There's hypocrites everywhere, all over the earth, and they're in the church, they're everywhere. But say, take Jesus. He's your ideal. And I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to Jesus, the more flaws you'll see. I remember when I accepted the Lord, I was 10 years old, and I used to get mad at the milk cows. We had milk cows. I know God never intended to have milk. They kicked and they jumped and they swatted you with their tails, and they were just beasts. Well, I guess they were beasts. And anyway, I just hated those cows. I got mad at those cows. And when I accepted Jesus, I thought, "Oh, if I could just get over my temper, not be mad at those cows, I'd be a perfect Christian." And that was my ideal. I thought, just get rid of that temper. But then as I get closer to Jesus, I find out my thoughts and my motives and my principles and my ideals and all of I'm thinking and what I'm in mind, I'm finding out a lot of flaws. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more flaws you'll see. But if you get some old skunk out there, you lay him down in the aisle of the church and you lay by him and you say, "See, I'm just as tall as he is." You can always find something like that. Lay down beside Jesus and see where you're at, see? So he deals with us as a son. Now the last thing, he deals with as a servant. First, he deals with the believer as a sinner. That's all taken care of at the cross. Then he deals with us as a son, how we're working with the Lord and how we're living for the Lord and doing that. That's present. Now he's going to deal with us as a servant. That's future. That's yet to come. And here it is. Paul talks about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is a future judgment, and it is for all the believers, every believer. And no one will escape, and no one will be absent, and we will all be there. Now, this is not the judgment of the great white throne. We will never go before the great white throne, because that is for the unbelievers. No believer will ever stand at the judgment of the great white throne. That's all taken care of at the cross, and we are in heaven. No question about it. And our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now he's going to judge us. What did you do with your life? I gave you some talents. I gave you abilities. I gave you time. You never have enough time, do you? Well, you got as much time as anybody else. You got 24 hours a day. Nobody else has 25 hours. Same out. See? So we have the same amount of time. We don't have the same amount of money, but we have the same amount of time. We don't have the same talents, different kind of talents. But God is going to judge us. And so God says, don't you judge anybody else. It's none of your business. He says in Romans 14:10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set thy brother at naught? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, he's saying, I can't be judging you and you can't be judging me, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus is the judge. And he knows the heart. See, you don't know my heart. You don't know what I got in my heart. You don't even know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking? You don't know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about an elephant up on an iceberg. Now, what would you ever would you ever dream that? You don't know what I'm thinking. And I don't know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, I'll be glad when he's done. But that's usually what they think. Well, this, when we stand before the great God Almighty, Jesus Christ, he knows our thoughts and the intents and the motives and the circumstances. He knows the whole thing. And that is going to come. And in Colossians 3, 24 and 25, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. And so what it simply means is that, well, we are going to meet the Lord, and we're going to answer for all the time we had and all the money we had and all the talents we had. We have people that they'll sing all over the moon, but they won't sing in church and help in church. And we have people that can teach, but they won't teach. You know why we don't have teachers in Sunday school and our churches have such a hard time? People don't want to be committed. They don't want to be tied down to anything. That's saints for their marriage. If they don't want to be tied down. I don't want to be tied down to you. I'll get a divorce. My divorce is all over the place. Having people come in, they tell me, well, I'm going to divorce her because I don't love her anymore. And I always said a stock answer. I says, well, what does love have to do with it? And he looks like, well, I maybe lost my mind. I said, I didn't love her anymore. I says, that doesn't make a bit of difference. You made a contract. And you learned to love her. You say, oh, you can't legislate love. Oh, yes, you can. What does God say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You can love if you want to love. So don't come around with that kind of stuff. And so God is looking at us. And so when he says, I'm going to give a reward to those who love me, those who serve me. But we have to be careful, because we have to serve according to the rules and the regulations. By that I mean, we have to live that life for the Lord that's as honorable as we can. And we have to be sure that we're giving out a love. And otherwise, all our works will be for nothing. Here, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15, St. Paul says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's the foundation. Everything we do is with him in the picture. And now if any man build upon this foundation, wood, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. In other words, your whole life will be suffered loss. It won't mean a thing because you didn't serve it in Christ's name, or you did it just for your own glory. What did Jesus say? They have their reward. They pray on the street corners. Jesus says, they have their reward already. See? And so we serve the Lord humbly and the best we can. And God will always be pleased with our efforts. I read early in my ministry, G. Campbell Morgan said, young men preach to serve Jesus. Preach to honor God. Preach to honor Jesus. Don't preach to please men, because he said, it's easier to please God than it is to please men. He was so right, so right. And so we're going to be tested, and the fire's going to test it. Now, but it does not, you're not going to be lost. Doesn't mean he's not talking about salvation. Salvation taken care of under the cross, see? He's talking about rewards, about our life. Listen to this last verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved yet as by fire. That is means he doesn't lose his soul, but he loses all of his rewards. They're all gone. And so the rewards come. They come to set forth in the Bible. It's set forth as a crown of life, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown, the crown of the martyrs. Oh, the martyrs. God have mercy. But you know one thing about that, when these people die, their life is taken in there in the presence of the Lord. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so that's gain for them to be with the Lord. But those left behind, the wives and the mothers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the little children, see. Oh, the devil torments. What a devil he is. And won't it be great when we see him cast into the lake of fire? And God says in the book of Revelation, he will burn forever and ever and ever. World without end. Time without end. That's where he belongs. He's as evil and wicked as they come. And so I guess I have to close by saying, well, how are you going to be in that day? Will you have any reward coming? Are you putting treasures in heaven? Jesus says to put your treasures on earth, and I'll tell you the story, the treasures on earth. He says three words. He says, moth and rust and thieves. They're gone, that's all. But the treasures in heaven will last forever and ever. And I'll tell you a little secret. Jesus taught us this. I used to think that we put our heart and then we put our treasures where our heart is. But Jesus says that's just backwards. He says, you put your heart where your treasure is. Your treasure doesn't follow your heart. Your heart follows your treasure. And if your treasure's on earth, you are the earth, earthy. And that's all you think about. But if our treasure's in heaven, it's heavenly. And we think of heaven and we think of glory. And we think of the day when we'll meet the King, the great King of kings and Lord of lords. And so God is going to deal with us as servants. How did you spend your time? How did you use your time? And we will serve the Lord. We serve him with gladness. We serve him with love and kindness. We serve him because he never expects the impossible. He knows if we're trying. He knows if we're doing the best. And so we serve this Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there's joy in serving the Lord. And I love to preach and I love serving Jesus. And it's better all the time as time goes by. I could have retired 30 years ago, and I told a man that one time. He says, well, maybe you should have. Well, wasn't that nice? And I said, listen, if I can win one soul to Jesus in those 30 years, it's well worth it. And so just there's joy in serving Jesus. And you don't have to be perfect to serve Jesus. I have more mistakes and blunders. How many, I was in that beautiful First Baptist Church for 50, in Aberdeen for 52 years. How many mistakes you think I made? But they're loving and kind, and God's Spirit was among them, and we carried on. So here you have it. A believer is as a sinner, all taken care of. Believer is a son, that's taken care of right now, chastening. Believer is a servant, that's yet to come. So I guess the question is, are you a believer? Have you accepted Jesus? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, anybody, doesn't matter what your sins are, I get letters all the time, I've been too sinful. If any man hear my voice, any person hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come into your life. I'll come into your heart. I'll take away your sins. I'll sup with you. I'll fellowship with you. You have the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. And he'll never be sleeping and he'll never be gone. And he will always be there. And you can lean on him. Some of you people today, you're shut-ins. And you're hurting and you're sick. And you've been sick for a long time. And you wonder, why is God doing this? But he has a purpose. He has a reason. And all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So trust Jesus. Lean on Jesus, and he'll help you. And someday you'll get that great crown of being faithful to him and keeping your faith and keeping it strong. And if you've accepting Jesus today, and I know somewhere there are people accepting Jesus during this whole service, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And it'll help you get in the Christian life. It'll help you start the Christian life. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. Box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can write to us. You can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can get all about us and learn about us and write to us. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the glorious gospel that when we put our faith in you, be it ever so humble a faith, be it ever so weak, be it ever so frail, be it ever so thin, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what you said. And you always keep your word, and you told us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, may there be many right now, Lord, make that prayer. And then they'll repent. That is, they'll turn from whatever's wrong in their life, and they'll start doing the things you'll show them as they go along, and you'll guide and direct them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray there'll be many. And we pray for those that are, as we say, those that are on beds of sickness, those that are shut-ins. You're there. Someday they'll be with you. They'll have that new body. Body like the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you and praise your name for all you're doing and all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for being with us today. We just pray that God will speak to your heart. I know he will. If you just listen, he'll speak. He'll have something for every one of you. Every one of you listening will have a separate message from the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. And he has all wisdom, just like God. He is God. And so he can talk to be six people in a row, and he'll talk to each one separately. It's tailor-made just for you. So you listen to the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Tell your friends. Pray for us. And by the grace of God, we'll be back next week. God bless you. Everyone, amen.